What's going on, everyone? It's Rob and Johnny. Welcome to episode 53. I was about to say another number, 53 of the MM Arcade podcast. Rob, we've got a big week this week. All right,
It's a big episode.
Lots
I'm sorry for missing last week. There's just a bunch of things come up and we had to.
I know there are
some of our fans that just patiently wait for them in anticipation, you know, shaking. But I apologize. It is my fault, not Johnny's. It's my fault. Some things come up. I couldn't swing the time. But we're back this week. And, mate, what a week to come back. We had some mad fights yesterday. And yeah. Let's get into it.
And I shared a lot of my thoughts in a breakdown video yesterday by the time this goes live. So, Rob, we'll focus on you and your opinions and breakdowns of the fights. So, let's start off talking about UFC 310's main event. Alexandre Pantoja submits Kaya Sakura for the flyweight title, successfully defends it in the second round. Rob, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, mate, Pantoja's a dog, dude. Like, man, like, I think he's definitely vastly underestimated, though I don't think he'll be as underestimated now. Okay, which is funny to say because there was no one left in the top 10 for him to fight. He had done work all over the place. But yesterday, oh mate, let me say firstly, Kai Asakura, mate, he looked straight like a it looked like I was watching a Street Fighter character. That guy had speed on him and he was so sharp and quick and clean.
Yeah.
Mate, I'll say it again. Pantoja's a dog, dude. Did not respect anything Kai threw at him and just literally walked him down like a dog. Was putting heavy hands on Kai. You could see that Kai like didn't want to really fight that fight because it just plays into Pantoja's hand.
Yeah.
And then when Pantoja had his halfback, the transition, like the confidence to just jump onto his back, he jumped from like a quarter front position. It was crazy. And just the confidence to be able to just to do that in a title fight against title level contenders. And he's done that several times throughout his career, but still he jumps on the back. He switches straight into the triangle guard on the back. And, mate, Kai had no answer. Like, there's no way you're getting someone like Pantoja off your back once he locks in that leg.
No. Especially for someone like Kai Sakura is a striker. He has a lot of stock from Japan, from Ryzen, prolific striker. But what was always going to be in question was his grappling. Takedown defense is actually decently well, but when it comes to his grappling, when he was taken down by Pantoja, that was when he was going to be truly tested. And the first time that it actually happened, he got submitted. You touched on it before, bro. Pantoja is severely underrated. Did you know, and they haven't changed the rankings since, but before this fight, he was 11th pound for pound. That's absurd. That is actually insane. If he's not top five after this, I don't know what you got to do in flyweight to do anything when it comes to rankings.
What do you do? But like props to Pantoja. Like got in. I was very surprised the first time he was in Asakura's guard. His level of like just pacing. He was just resting, not being aggressive, like happy to let it stand back up. I'm just surprised at the level of calmness, especially because he looks like a fighter that's kind of doggedly, like he's got a game plan in his head and he's doggedly pursuing it. So for him to slow down, once he got that guard position, slow down and just kind of pace things out, I don't know. I was like, cool guy. Guy's just regaining his energy because then when they stood back up, he just went straight back to marching him down.
Yeah. He didn't care, bro. I mean, some of the knees that Kai threw, they've TKO'd people before, right? He has insane knees, very heavy hands, quick combinations. But like we've seen in many a fight before, Steve Ersig, Moreno, Roy Val twice, he just eats everything and he does not bloody care. Maybe one day Father Time will catch up with him and maybe he'll start to get a little bit chinny, but he's certainly not there right now and he'll walk through everything. What does he do? What does he do right now? Does he fight Kai Kara France? Does he move up in weight? He called out DJ and DJ was like, I'm not coming out of retirement. So what the hell does Pantoja do?
Well, yeah, he's in a hard position. Realistically, you would think that, and I don't know how it would look, is that him potentially moving up to fight at a heavier weight,
yeah,
know, looking for those double title statuses. It's hard. The position he's in is tricky in that division because he has beaten everybody. I definitely think Kai is an option just because of Kai's last performance being like stopping Usyk the way he did.
Yeah.
And just Kai's always been in that top five discussion regardless. Yep. So,
and they haven't fought either. So.
I'd love to see how Pantoja's chin holds up to Kai's power because Kai, in my opinion, has the most power in that division.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I'm very curious on that. I'd pay to see that, you know, just to see that test. And if he does walk through Kai's power, then he's invincible. He's got to be. no one beats him in that division ever. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
But yeah. Otherwise, yeah, moving up, maybe making some plays like that, earning a bit of cash because he's a bigger guy as well. You can see that.
Yeah, but I tell you what, though, him next to Asakura looked massive. And Asakura, I know, is a natural bantamweight. So this, to me, proves that Pantoja, I think he could do decently well against the likes of Merab Dvalishvili or Umar, depending upon who's the champion at that stage. And if there's anybody that deserves to actually fight for a double champ status, it's Pantoja, like, compared to a lot of other fighters in the UFC. So let's see what he does next. But as we mentioned, we've got a big card to cover. So let's go to the co-main. Really interesting one. Shavkat Rakhmonov defeats Ian Garry by unanimous decision, 48-47 across the board. Your thoughts on this one?
I thought the respect between the two guys was very prevalent in that fight.
Yeah.
I thought that they both, you could see they were a little hesitant to giving each other opportunities for the other to capitalize on. Yeah. I haven't seen Shavkat that reserved in a first round since he started, right?
Yeah.
You know what? I'm happy that in about round two, we started seeing Ian start to open up, especially with his kicks. He was having a lot of success with his kicks as well as with that lead oblique kick. I think that was giving him trouble, Shavkat trouble, because like he was getting good reads and good looks every time he threw that kick.
Yeah.
But Shavkat definitely looked great once he started open mat shooting for doubles and really committing to that sort of play.
Yeah.
I don't know. I wouldn't say it was like an absolute barn burner, but it was definitely a striking, it was definitely a fight, high IQ fight. There was very little room for error in that fight because both guys had the ability to capitalize on any sort of give. And It was a good fight. I don't know if it was like one for the common fans, but it was a great fight to watch because these were two guys that were riding such strong streaks.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I described it yesterday as this being an unstoppable force versus an immovable object situation. Do you know what I mean? Like in every, like maybe not so much Ian Garry because he likes to fight at distance. He likes to point fight in most of his fights, but at least
Ian likes these sort of fights.
He does. He does. And he made it his fight ultimately in that because Shavkat, don't get me wrong, like he does like the clinch. He likes the wrestle. He likes to slowly work people down and eventually cinch in the submission. But he just couldn't do that against Ian. Ian would just not bloody go down from the body lock or the clinch position. The one time that we saw him go down, as you touched on, is in the fourth when he did the double leg. Should have done more of that in hindsight. But Ian was very, very difficult to get down. And clearly, I think Shavkat respected Ian's striking and distance game because he was doing really good. The oblique kicks, the low calf kicks. At distance, I think Shavkat was less willing to trade like he was in his previous fight against Jeff Neal. So stylistically, it didn't lend itself to the most exciting fight, but I still enjoyed it. It was still very fascinating. And now Shavkat has won. He keeps his zero. He's going to be the one that fights Bilal Muhammad.
Yeah, I got to say, And they did their square off in the octagon, which was a little awkward.
Awkward, it was.
Oh, dude, that was awkward. Like,
but I thought so. Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, no, dude, it was awkward. The whole even just Bilal getting into the octagon was awkward. Like, I'm pretty sure security shut him down. But, you know, like, but I will say, Ian Garry definitely controlled that mid-range fight.
Yeah.
And Shavkat was taking damage trying to get in. Then Shavkat would push him up against the fence. And I'll give props to Ian Garry, mate. His defense on the fence, like his fence work was top-notch.
Yeah.
Shavkat is so comfortable there, riding people out and just really pushing that game, that upper body clinch work, as you said, to the body lock, and just like creating the fight that he wants from that point. Mm-hmm. But Ian Garry shut it down, circled out, went back to center ring, and then would just control that mid space with great kick work.
Yeah.
I will say Ian Garry's lead left high kick to Shavkat was just so fast. It was such a clean kick to watch. I love seeing things like that because it's just beautiful to watch.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. I really cannot wait to see what Ian does. I think his stock went up in a lot of people's books. If you're a fan of him or not, he did phenomenally well against what everyone considers to be the unanimous boogeyman of that division. Mm-hmm. Has finished every single other person that he's fought now except for Ian Garry. Even though he won, very close fight, very competitive fight. Ian, I think they'll fight again. If Shavkat does end up fighting Bilal and becomes the champion, I think there's every chance that Ian will fight Shavkat again. But I would like to see Ian fight the likes of... Welterweight, bro, is in a really tough position because I think JDM is probably going to fight Kamaru Usman. That's my guess. You could have Brady fighting Leon Edwards. You could have Ian Garry fighting Leon Edwards in the UK. That would be a good fight. Colby's about to fight Buckley. I just don't know how that division is going to figure itself out.
I think we're kind of in the space of like a changing of the guard with that division, you know? And I think the top 10, top five is kind of cementing itself. Like the top five of tomorrow is still moving up there today sort of thing, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, but man, JDM, I just can't wait for him to get out of injury, bro. I want to see him fight again because I really think that he stands a good chance against the others in the top five.
Oh, definitely.
But that was the fight. Next one is going to get me frustrated, so I'm going to let you take the reins initially. Cyril Garn.
Not as frustrated as a fight after it.
True, yeah, okay, we'll talk about that too. But Cyril Garn versus Alexander Volkov. I was so confident that Volkov had won this fight. I was like, as they were figuring out the decision, I was writing my notes saying, Alexander Volkov won by unanimous decision. Yeah, I was that confident. And then they called Garn defeating Volkov by split decision. What are your thoughts?
I thought this would have to be one of the better heavyweight fights I've seen, period. Like, okay. I think it was such a good fight to watch.
Yeah.
Mate, I don't know what it was, but Volkov looked two sizes too big for that octagon. dude's massive normally, but in that fight, he looked ginormous. And Cyril Garn's not a small guy. He's not the biggest heavyweight, but he's not small by any means.
No, he's not.
So, I was so impressed with Volkov's approach to the striking battle with Cyril.
Yeah.
I thought it was such a good way. Like he really just capitalized on his reach, but kept it aggressive.
Yeah.
Kept it moving forward. Like, I was impressed. I was really impressed. Because I always knew Volkov was good, but I think he got derailed when he lost. Who was it? Derek Lewis, maybe?
So he lost to Lewis and then to Blake. Like he had a period where he had a few wins and losses.
He did.
Yeah.
And I think that stumbled him a bit, but then he found his footing and I could see, you know, that fight with Pavlovich could have gone like two ways really. You know, he got stopped or he beats him and then he beat him cleanly. Mm-hmm. So that opened my eyes to his striking prowess, especially because of the way he utilized like his reach. But aggressiveness. A lot of tall guys just like fighting from range. He doesn't do that. He pressures you with his range, which is amazing to see. And he did that against Cyril. And, mate, I definitely had him pegged for winning. Like, you could see Cyril thought he won.
He walked out of the cage, bro.
Silas anyone. Like, you know what I mean? It's, yeah, it was straight robbery. It would have been the same as if they walked in the octagon, just took his gloves off him and walked off. taking his shoes from under the octagon left. You know, they stole that W from Volkov.
Yeah.
Which is upsetting because that was such a high stakes fight.
The winner of that obviously
moves forward towards a title shot or title contention with Aspinall, right? Now, don't get me wrong, I'm very keen to fight Gane versus Aspinall. And yes, I'm ignoring the elephant in the room.
Yeah, you are.
I'm circling around it because, mate, every time we bring that up, I'm stuck here talking about it for the next 20 minutes, okay?
Fair enough, yeah.
I'm just pretending he's not there right now, okay? Like, let's just pretend he's not there. I want to see Gane fight Aspinall. Like, I do. But Volkov deserves that fight.
Yeah.
And I saw Volkov speaking with Dana at the end of the fight because
yes,
Dana's actually like pretty straight and narrow. If he sees you earned a fight, he'll give you a fight. So I don't know. Maybe there's something there, but that
was funnily you said that in the post fight or the post card interview and press conference, Dana did describe that encounter and said to Volkov something along the lines of, "We'll take care of you. Don't know how we're going to do it, but we will."
Mm.
It really disappoints me because the latest streak that Volkov has had, Rozenstruik, Romanov, tied to Ivasa, and then Pavlovich, you touch on that increased aggression. He's really started to shine and he deserves that eventual title opportunity. We're not going to get into it, right? But against the winner of John Jones and Aspinall, if they fight, he should have been in line for that because who else is there?
They're
there isn't.
Fighting, dude.
Yeah, no, fighting, he's probably dude. Not. Well, then in that case, fighting. He should be fighting Aspinall for the title, assuming that Aspinall gets gifted the undisputed belt. And now he's not going to be in that position, and it's going to be Gane because Gane won on paper, but we all know that he didn't win. It's so frustrating. I was so pissed off.
It was because I thought that was such a hand, like that was such a good fight from Volkov, and it was a clear win in my book.
Clear,
and yeah, and because it was so high stakes to get robbed at that point is tricky. You know, momentum is so hard to grab, and once you lose it, it's gone, sort of thing. So
in my mind, what they'll do, it'll be Volkov versus Blades because Volkov has lost against Blades. Blades obviously coming off a loss. That, to me, makes the most sense. And then whoever wins out of that will be right back in that picture.
You know,
that's
it's
my
so hard because, you know, Volkov's in a position where he could sit out. Just sit out, let Cyril fight Aspinall, and then he fight the winner. He could. Like, in my opinion, he could. I think the amount of work and the way he was robbed in that last fight, I think, like, let's not pretend that hasn't happened before.
Yeah.
hint, you know.
Yeah.
People are just doing that anyway, like losing fights and waiting for title shots afterwards.
I know what you're referring to.
Yeah, dude.
Yeah.
But tricky, very tricky. I feel for the guy. Great fight though.
For sure. Well, now let's go on to the fight that you touched on before. Bryce Mitchell KOs Crone Gracie. Your thoughts, Rob.
These are my true thoughts. Okay,
but be honest, please. Go on.
These are my true. I think Crone Gracie is not a fighter. I think he's an amazing jiu-jitsu guy, and even with all the awareness of what Crone's trying to do, he still got Bryce into a bad position at one point.
He did.
Okay, especially when you know what he pulls guard, dude. Like, you know what he's going for. So that only lends itself, and because I'll say, like, jiu-jitsu with MMA in the UFC is so hard to do, and all the good guys you see doing jiu-jitsu successfully in the UFC are amazing jiu-jitsu guys. Okay, they're not good; they're amazing, but you need to have it all. That's why it's MMA, and we're not at world's jiu-jitsu, right? That's it. That's all I got. Like, I don't know what Crone does now. Maybe he goes back, works on his striking. I thought that's what he did after his last fight.
That's what he should have done.
Right? But he came to the fight with like no intent on throwing hands still. So,
When he did throw hands as well, like I kind of described it, like he looked like he was doing this. It just didn't look that good. In all honesty, bro, this fight probably shouldn't have been booked. Bryce Mitchell is a good fighter. He is way leagues above Crone Gracie when it comes to MMA. Yes, Crone almost had him. I think it was the armbar. But aside from that, he kept pulling guard, kept jumping down. There's only a you just said that, you know, it's very hard to do good jiu-jitsu in the UFC. It's also very hard to do that when you're on your back and guard. There's only I can count the people that can do that really well. Paul Craig is one of them. Charles Oliveira is another one of them. Crone Gracie is not one of them. He was close, but like Bryce Mitchell just gave it to him in the end. So I think the right fighter won.
Well, yeah. There's so many nuances in MMA jiu-jitsu opposed to mat jiu-jitsu. It's just it's different. It's different, and I think that was apparent. I hope it's not the end of Crone Gracie. I hope he goes away. He works on some stuff, and you know, we see him again. I do, because the last name legacy obviously is very heavy.
For sure,
I want that there. It deserves a place, but I don't think he's respecting the entire game yet. So let's see what happens.
I think you summarized it well, bro. And for the final fight on the main card, Doohoo Choi defeats Nate Landwehr via TKO. Choi, man, was a savage.
Mate, okay, for one, I'm a huge fan of Doohoo Choi. Like, the guy's a weapon. But I told Johnny beforehand, I go, that's when I tuned in. And I was very distracted. So I was watching it on the second screen and doing something else on the first one, which I'll explain later on because alluding to what I'm playing. And every time I looked over, it was often, Doohoo Choi was piecing up Nate. And I like Nate a lot. But he was just so outclassed in that fight. It was honestly just an outclassing. There was a serious level difference. And Doohoo Choi is a weapon. He looked amazing just then, like in that fight.
Yeah. And to catch him in that brutal crucifix, Nate was not getting out of it. That was 110% the correct call. And it's just good to see Doohoo Choi in that position. Nate, I feel bad. I thought it would have been a bit more competitive. In fact, Nate was the favorite heading into this fight. Maybe shows a little bit of disrespect to Choi, but he gets it done, man. He just worked everything. He smashed it with the grappling. It was cracking him. Low calf kicks, uppercuts,
punches,
short and left hooks. Yeah.
His spacing, his low ducks, like his head movement. Oh, it was so clean. It was such a clinic in straight up hands. And then he mixed in legs. And then when Nate tried to clinch and grapple, he would reverse throw him or he would just control him and throw knees. It was such an amazing showing. Like it was a proper clinic. And it was so good.
Yeah. Well, that was the main card for UFC 310. Rob, I know you didn't watch the prelims, but I want to quickly touch on Dominic Reyes TKOing Anthony Smith. Really hard to watch. That second round, Rob, it was 73-0 significant strikes in Reyes' favor. Destroyed Smith. It was brutal. I think he hinted that he might retire, and it's probably going to be the likely scenario here. I'm happy for Dom. I'm happy that he has two wins on the trot. He's back after his slip. But Anthony probably does need to put the gloves down.
Yeah, well, Anthony's doing broadcasting. He's working with the UFC. I find it very hard. And you see a lot of those guys that are doing the media side of things and the broadcasting and everything else involved and still fighting. It's so hard.
Yeah.
Because training takes everything from you. Fights take everything from you. And it's hard. It's hard to juggle both. Really, really, really hard.
Yeah. I really like he does a podcast with Bisping. Yeah, it's great breakdowns. That requires a lot of work, as you touched on. The amount of research and that goes into it and the fights that you got to watch to be able to have opinions on every single fight, especially broadcasters in the UFC. They're not just watching the main event. They're watching every single fight. Yeah. They need to have opinions on every fighter, new and old alike. So to do that and still be fighting like he is, kudos to him. He's had a fantastic career. I think it was 58 fights or something crazy like that. I think it makes sense if he was deciding to end it. Next up, though, Vicente Luque submits Themba Garimbo. Nice to see Luque back. This was a really vicious anaconda choke. But then I do want to talk a little bit about Movsar Evoyev defeating Aljamain Sterling via unanimous decision. Should have been on the main card, in all honesty, bro. It was a very close fight, very competitive grappling exchange. What I would like to see now that Movsar has won, it was a contentious decision. Movsar should rematch Diego Lopez for the number one spot because we know that Volk is going to be fighting Ilia Topuria. That's what I would like to see because he has defeated Lopez. It was Lopez's debut, but still, like, Lopez looked good. He's improved vastly, especially after his last win with Brian Ortega. He should absolutely fight Movsar again for that number one spot. I would really like to see that fight. But lastly, well, that was it, and then we got a bunch of other fights that were on the prelims. But that covers our breakdown of UFC 310. Next up, I don't want to jump straight to the game news because there have been some announcements in the UFC that, Rob, I want to get your opinions on. We have UFC 311 and 312 in Sydney announced. Let's start off with UFC 312 because it's quite relevant to your division. In the main event, we have Dricus du Plessis fighting Sean Strickland, defending the middleweight title. Can I get your thoughts on this fight, Rob? Especially that's going to be in Sydney, in all likelihood you'll be in the crowd as well.
Yeah, I'm surprised Sean literally just sat out. Like, everyone was laughing at him when he said, I'm going to sit out until I get my title shot. And
yeah.
Dude straight up got a title shot. Props for that. Like, you got to give it to him. Guy like straight up stuck by what he said. But in my opinion, I don't see the fight going any different. Like, du Plessis is such a dog in there. He's going to come with the same aggressiveness and game plan. What could Sean do differently to change the outcome than last time? Okay, because if we look at it, doesn't happen often, but the challenger beats the champion by decision. Okay? Mm-hmm. Du Plessis did that. Now he's a champion. And that was a close first fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You see where I'm angling with this. I just don't know what Sean can do differently to change the outcome from happening again.
I don't know what he could do differently either. But
because it's not like Sean wasn't landing hands, right?
No, he was. Like, he again, if you look at the significant strikes, it goes back to this discussion. He technically outlanded Dricus, but it goes down to the damage and the quality of those strikes. And ultimately, Dricus, in my opinion, and in many others, had it on that night. I agree. I don't know what he can do differently. And in all honesty, I would have preferred to see Khamzat in that position. And it looks like Khamzat's going to be there. His tour is moved to February. I feel like he's going to be in the crowd now, so they're going to set up that moment. Do you believe that Khamzat should have been in there over Sean?
Oh, definitely. Definitely. Like, Khamzat was in the discussion when he beat Usman that time.
Yeah.
You know? And then he had the time off, and then he fought me.
Yeah.
Beat me.
Yeah.
So I don't know. He's always kind of been in a title discussion. He's undefeated. I don't know. It's hard to argue against giving him a shot at this point.
Yeah.
You know, especially if like you're giving Sean Strickland a title shot like that.
Yeah, it frustrates me a bit because, you know, Dana has always been the one to, he's praised you a lot of times, and I've messaged you about this, you taking on fights, fighting on everyone. He speaks high praise of you and fighters like you that take on all comers. But then Sean gets the title opportunity after defeating Paulo Costa. To me, it doesn't make a lot of sense.
To be fair, though, Sean's that sort of fighter too. Like, he will fight anyone as well. Granted, he didn't the last time, but
with the exception here,
The exception. Like, dude, yeah. Sean's fought a bunch of people at different weights as well. Okay, so like, there's no argument there that Sean will fight anyone.
He fought Pereira. Yeah.
Yeah, no, and that fight was so close. I don't care, dude. You know, ultimately, let him. Who cares? Like, I'm out of the picture. It doesn't matter anymore.
You're not out of the... Stop it. I told you, one, two wins, you're right back in.
I'm joking. I understand the opportunity that's in the middleweight division, okay? But, yeah, I think Chimaev's right there for a title shot at the very least, you know? Or, yeah, I don't know. Put him against Adesanya. That'll get
really.
Why not?
Oh, that would be insane. I feel like Adesanya is being earmarked to fight Nassourdine Imavov. It hasn't been confirmed. Look, I think Khamzat's going to be the one sitting it out now and waiting for the winner of Dricus and Sean. Can I ask you, before we close off this little segment, what do you think Khamzat does against Dricus or Sean? Like, do you think he'd be the favorite against either of them?
Yeah, I'd have to. Like, I can't see. I don't know. I think he just takes him down and does the same thing. Like, not necessarily to me, but to, like, how he beat Usman, you know?
Right.
Like, I can, or how he beat Gert Burns. I can see those sort of fights. I think he'd have more success with Strickland than Du Plessis.
Mm-hmm.
Just for sure. Because Du Plessis is like a big dude. But ultimately, I can, I don't know. I'll be stopping that first takedown is so crazy. That the way he shoots in that first shot is crazy. How do you stop that dude? Jump over him. Like,
someone commented that last week. Why don't you just jump over him? It's not that easy.
Yeah, dude, if I saw it coming, I would have. Like, he's not a hurdle. I don't know. But yeah, you know.
Nah, fair enough. And the other fight, the co-main, is Weili Zhang against Tatiana Suarez.
Is that Duplessis fight? Is that the Sydney card?
Yeah, bro. Yeah.
Oh, dude.
Yeah, cool. That's why I'm saying you'll be in the crowd, and Khamzat has booked his Australia tour for February, so it seems he'll be there as well, which will be interesting. Yeah, but as I said, the co-main, Weili Zhang against Tatiana Suarez for the strawweight title, so that's going to be a good fight. It's good to see Zhang back because we haven't seen her fight in a little bit. It's been a little bit now, but I do want to talk about as well UFC 311 that was announced, because this is shaping up to be an insane fight. In the main event, Islam Makhachev against Armin Tsarukyan for the lightweight title, and then as the co-main, Mirab Dvalishvili against Umar Nurmagomedov for the bantamweight title. And then you've got Benil Dariush against Renato Moicano, Yuri Prohaska against Jamal Hill, Kevin Holland against Reiner de Ritter. Dude, UFC 311 is an insane card.
What a card.
Yeah, what do you reckon, especially about the main and the co-main?
Well, I think that's a banger card. And Islam versus Armin, mate, that fight is going to answer all the questions every fan has, period.
Yep.
Right, yep. Because I'm not going to go into it too much, but everyone wants to know how good Armin is. Mm-hmm. And everyone wants to know how good Islam is. And that fight is going to tell you. Like, clean cut, okay? I will say that Islam looked amazing last fight. I think I think he wrestles like Khabib with way better striking. His striking is on leagues above what Khabib could do. And he's dangerous. He's so good. Mm-hmm. I just don't think he's had the chances to really display it. I know he's highlighted a lot since then, but I still think he's still building that legacy, because obviously Khabib has such a large shadow. So he's just got more groundwork to do in that sense. But I think honestly, Islam's probably better than Khabib.
Yeah, yeah. I think this is one of Islam's toughest challenges to date, because you have someone in the form of Tsarukyan that maybe not neck and neck match him in the wrestling, but he's going to give him a good bloody go. And Armin's a dog, man. You saw him in that fight with Oliveira. He almost got choked out. He refused to. But I think if Islam gets him in that same position or a similar position, Armin's not getting out of it. And we know how good Oliveira is, and I know how much of a dog Tsarukyan is, but Islam is a whole another level. Mm-hmm. But what about Mirab and Umar?
Again, much like the earlier one, like the questions we have, like, can Mirab, and this is kind of the question I have for every fighter that gets to that position with just pure wrestling,
mm-hmm.
is like, how good is it against X? Yeah. Or how good is it against Y? And we just keep throwing him guys that we hand cultivate and cater until someone beats him. And then we're like, he's not that good. you know what I mean?
He's been through murderous Rome, bro.
Yeah, dude. So, like, I want to see. Umar, if he does the same thing to Umar as he's done to everybody else in his fights, then no one dethrones him. No one.
I agree. I just don't know. I like Mirab, right? I really do. I just don't know if Merab can do that to Umar. Umar is fantastic with his wrestling. Mm, obviously, trains exactly. with Khabib. He trains with Islam. But in the striking game, there's no denying it. Umar is way better. He outstruck Corey Sandhagen, for God's sake.
Yeah.
So
no, it's I think Umar is going to keep it standing and piece him up. But
yeah,
said that before and been wrong. So
It's going to be a great card. Honestly, UFC 311, 312, very, very keen for both. But that is all the UFC chat, unless you had anything else to add, Rob. We are 35 minutes in, so not too bad. It's not going to be the longest podcast in the world.
I will say, because I see his name pop up, Jamal Hill. Dude, the dude's losing his mind.
Isn't he?
He's just straight up losing his mind. Guys, gonna calm down. Calm down. Stop it. Like, where are his friends telling him, bro, calm down? Like, what friends does he have around him that are saying, like, yeah, dude, keep going? You know what I mean?
Did you see him confront Pereira gym?
I did. And Pereira looked dangerous as hell just then.
Yeah.
And like, Jamal didn't look anywhere near as dangerous.
Dude's lost all his aura, man. And I don't know what he's thinking because the dude has knocked you out.
Yeah, like, I think Jamal needs like some better friend circle. I don't know. He's a really good guy though. I'm not making fun of him. I'm just like, I kind of come across that way. Like, I mean, like he's got to chill out.
Yeah. I will say this though, with this fight with Yuri, it's going to be a very, very interesting fight. The one thing that Yuri needs to do, and it's going to be tested against Jamal, who is a sniper, he needs to work on his defense a little bit.
Dude,
I think
Jamal's going to chin him again. Like, not again. He's going to chin him. Yeah. Like, Jamal hit hard. Wasn't given the chance against his last fight, but every fight before that, he displayed that. Yeah. And Yuri has taken some head trauma recently. So
he really has.
And he hasn't addressed like defense.
No. Even against Rakic, bro.
He hasn't changed anything.
Yeah, like he was lucky that Rakic didn't knock him out in that first round. And when you fight someone like Poatan, it's gonna happen. As you said, when you fight someone like Hill, it might happen. So unless he's severely improved to defend Hill's boxing, I agree. That is probably the most likely outcome, especially because he's had two pretty bad knockouts in quick succession.
Yep.
But that is the UFC talk for this week. Next up, let's talk a little bit about game news. Yeah, by far, the biggest release, the biggest news of the week was Indiana Jones and the Great Circle. That has finally released. It came out into early access 3 days ago. It's now fully released. 87 on Metacritic. If the Game Awards considered the games that were released at this time, it would probably be a Game of the Year candidate. When it comes to the positives, really great story, especially for those indie fans. A lot of great set pieces. The puzzles I hear are very, very fun. Troy Baker always does a good job, The other cast and the other voice actors do as well. Incredible visuals. We've seen the trailers and the gameplay. The environments look amazing. The one downside, and I understand what people are saying because this was always going to be a concern, the combat a little bit clunky at times. The stealth is a little bit better. It plays more as a stealth game, but the combat in many reviewers' eyes is lacking a little bit of depth. But overall, still a fantastic game, fantastically reviewed. Should probably be a Game of the Year candidate. I do have a code. I have not put enough hours in it, so thank you to Bethesda for sending me that. But I'm just very happy to see, bro, that this game is doing well. Genuinely, I am, because this is machine bloody games. What else did we expect? If you've ever played Wolfenstein, New Order, Old Blood, the New Colossus, or whatever it is, every single Wolfenstein game, it's been fantastic. What else did we expect? They were going to create a fantastic game with Indiana Jones, and I'm so glad that it's done well.
Cool.
What do you reckon, man?
I can't speak on it. I haven't seen anything about it. I haven't heard anything about it.
Are you an indie fan, out of curiosity?
Like, I remember the first Indiana Jones, the Holy Grail, right?
Yeah.
That's it.
Have you played Wolfenstein, out of curiosity? You played Wolfenstein. No. What?
No.
You need to play Wolfenstein.
You were saying machine games. Like, every one of those games you said I haven't played.
Because you're not an FPS guy. I get that.
Well, I just might be.
Oh, don't tell me you started playing a shooter.
Let's continue on.
All right, all right. Well, I want to close it also, by saying,
but yeah. On that, I struggle to get into any sort of games with a story because I just don't like not controlling where things are going, and I don't like an end to games.
No, that's fair. And you've always said you like being able to customize a character, which this obviously isn't. Yeah. This is Indiana Jones, mm-hmm. but it seems to be a fantastic game, great story. I'm very keen to jump into it properly, which is probably going to be over the summer break here in Australia. So awesome job, Machine Games. I'm really happy for you because you deserve it, especially after all the Wolfenstein games. But now let's move on to what we're watching, playing, and reading. Rob, what have you been playing? Get into it.
Okay. So the reason why I was so distracted watching the fights and mm-hmm. everything else in my entire life right now is because, brother, I am a hell diver.
Oh, my God. No way.
I am solidly in it for freedom and democracy.
Dude.
I have liberty every morning for breakfast. You got no idea, dude. I am so hooked on that game. It is amazing. It is so good, dude. And I understand there's probably a burnout that's coming, but it ain't come yet.
I tried to tell you about Helldivers when it came out. You didn't listen. Dude. I feel vindicated.
I don't play shooters. I was so surprised, but I was kind of I was between games and I was like, didn't really know what I wanted to play. And then it just popped up on a Steam sale for like, I forget what it was, Black Friday or something. No, before that. And I clicked the trailer we saw the trailer when they announced it and I thought it was amazing, but it just hit me again. It had that sick music. And, mate, I was looking for a game that I could also play with my friend because I play a lot of single-player games. So I was looking for like a good multiplayer game and, mate, it was just perfect. It's been so good. So just I've only been playing it with me and my friend. Like no one else, no randoms. Mm-hmm. And I let my son drop in as well. Dude, where are we up to? We're nothing special. We're up to impossible.
Yeah. What number is that? Do you remember?
Eight, I think.
Yeah, damn.
Yeah. And we're like, mate, there's like me and my mate, we're full sweats. So like we're sweating here, dude. And my son is just having the time of his life, running around where everyone, fragging anything, calling out orbitals wherever he wants. Like it's so cool. He's hooked on the game as well for good reason. And I like very much like fighting bugs more than robots.
Yeah. Oh, 100, everyone does. That's standard.
Just because like it's just so Starship Troopers 2.
Yeah.
I love it so much. Even like when the way your man is yelling when you're firing off 150 rounds of a Gatling gun or anything. And dude, the ragdoll physics are so funny. Like so sick. And also I only play exterminate missions, like defense missions. Because they're fast, you get a lot of experience, and they're fun. I just like, they're so hard. They're so hard. And mate, like, you die to a wave, your mate's bringing on the biggest conga line of bugs you've ever seen. He throws a grenade, runs over the grenade so that you spawn literally in the horde. But as a proper hell diver, you just try to hit something when you're coming down, right?
When you land,
I aim for the biggest thing. I aim for the biggest thing every time. Kill it, get stuck in its body, and die. Like But that's my life right now. That's my life. That's all I'm really
I'm
doing.
So happy, man. I'm so glad. Hell divers. I know it had its moment where it was very popular. It obviously, like every game, it's eased back down a little bit. It deserves to get so much praise. It is, it's hard to describe how satisfying it is when you have a big bloody machine gun and you're mowing down insects.
I feel
it's
like I'm
so
playing
fun.
A movie, dude.
Yes.
I feel like I'm playing a movie. It is so good. And when you've had, like, I know the like level 8 isn't the hardest difficulty yet, and we're working on it. Like, I'm working on getting up there. I haven't managed it yet, but I'm working on it.
Dude, it's hard. You have to play level, with more players, when, in all honesty.
No, I refuse to.
No,
I'm
going to
do it
no
just
way.
With me, mate.
All right.
Trust me. We'll be revisiting this discussion next week.
Okay.
Right. I'm gonna do it. We can almost do it. Like we can clear level 8s. It's just we just haven't. I don't know what you need to do to get the next difficulty. I don't know if it's a matter of missions or level, perhaps. But we're waiting for the next one.
For memory, there's a certain number that you have to clear within that level. I don't remember though. Yeah.
Well, yeah. We're working through. We're probably like a 40% loss, I reckon.
Yeah.
No, a 60% loss, I reckon. Yeah. Yeah, we're not quite half, but we're working on it. Because obviously, every time we win a mission, we get experience, we can get better armaments, we're leveling Correct. Up, we can get, you know, and it makes the missions
better orbitals,
easier.
Yeah.
But, mate, nothing beats the feeling of just, like, having no reinforcements left, none on the clock. Your mate and you and your mate are just running to extraction. You see the extraction timer ticking down. You've got, like, 30 seconds to hold out. There's crap everywhere. There's four yeah. wild titans. Like, everything's spitting at you. You're just running laps around extraction trying to get out of this way because killing him is not an option. Correct. And then you do it. You manage. You leg it up. Your mate dies with a crossfire. You keep going. You dive into the spaceship. You go off, and it says that, like, failed to extract, but it goes mission complete. I just think there is nothing more cinematic than that. And, like, your mate comes back, blood splatter everywhere, and you're on the ship just clapping him. Dude, it's so cool. It's so cool. Like, the feeling of, like, we died for the cause. You feel like a hell diver. You know what I mean?
You do. You feel like you're fighting for the cause. Those moments, yeah. bro, where
so on board right now.
There's a bunch of enemies, a bunch of insects, and you're the last one to get onto the ship. Yeah. The clock is counting down, and you just make it. There is nothing more exhilarating, yeah. and you get all the rewards. Yeah. Fantastic yeah. game. I'm so happy
Dude,
to hear you
amazing.
Say that,
if you haven't played it, you're amazing. And anyone, I've seen different YouTube channels and people commenting like, this game is dead. Why are you still playing it? Brother, keep your comments to yourself. Play by myself and my friend. Like, we love it. Love it. Okay. Yeah. It is so good. It is such a good game. And then I noticed, because I remember we spoke about it, how they were forcing people to play with PSN or connect right. to a link. They don't do that anymore. You can just yeah. skip it. So that's cool if that was yeah. what was holding you back. But I was thinking about it, actually. Mm. I'm going to rant here.
God.
I was thinking about why that was such a big thing for people. It's because this age of gamers are weak.
Here we go.
Mate,
here we go.
Tell me, remember when you were a kid and you put your Sega Mega Drive thing in, and you turn it on, and if it didn't work, you just blew the hell out of it and hope to God that if you put it in properly enough, it'll work.
Yeah,
dude,
yeah, yeah.
I would have signed on to any sort of contract in the world to get that game to work. Like, people are just spoiled now. Think about it.
Can I tell you the reason? I will tell you the reason, because, like, there were certain people in certain countries where they didn't have PSN, so they couldn't play. That was the issue, for if memory serves me correct. And I think they have reverted it. So, as you said, you can skip it and people from those regions can buy it now, because there was a period where they couldn't. But that was the reason. It was more so people upset for others okay. that somehow suddenly couldn't play the game.
Okay. If
so, yeah.
If that was you, I apologize. This comment's not for you. If it wasn't for you, I mean it, and it's still for you. Okay, if you're some spoiled dude in your house with the computer, just been like, I don't sign subscribing to the PSN, dude. Just subscribe. Just subscribe and join the rest of us with 1,000 spam mails a day. Okay.
No, can I say this though? PlayStation does not spam. Bro, and I'll go off on a bit of a tangent. I freaking love PlayStation, man. They've made me such a bloody fanboy with the games that they've released. I love my PlayStation 5. I bought the Pro in a heartbeat, and games like Helldivers just continue to win me over. Mm-hmm. It is such a phenomenal game. And in all honesty, it should be in Game of the Year categories across the board. For certain, best multiplayer.
It's so good. It is so good. I'm really hooked on it right now.
Hell yeah. Happy to hear you say that, man.
But that's what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing. I've been watching an anime, actually, of the recent simulcast, whatever it's called.
Oh, yeah? What'd you watch?
Yakuza Fiancé.
Oh, that's a good.
It's weird, dude. It's weird.
Oh, that doesn't surprise me coming from you.
Yeah, it's very weird. It's kind of like a drama anime,
yep.
which I've never really gotten into, but I think this year, this season's drop has just been kind of atrocious across the board, really.
Okay.
So, you know when you get into an anime mood and your bar is standard? for anime drops to about here. You just want to watch anime.
Yeah.
I hit that point and I was just like, whatever, I'm just going to hit something. Anyway, Yakuza Fiance, I'm enjoying it. I don't know if it's just because like I said, low bar right now, but it's cool. It's cool. I'm on the drama train.
I got to ask, have you not watched the latest season of Shangri-La Frontier?
No.
You should.
Is it out?
It is. Yeah. Well, it's still coming out. The last episode was just released today. I would say it's on Crunchyroll. It's there for sure. You should be watching it.
It's not in new.
It should be. I reckon if you search it up, it's there because I've been watching all the latest episodes. It probably doesn't compare to the first season, but that season was very good. I'm still enjoying it, still having fun, and it's getting to a good bit. So, yeah, you should watch it.
I don't see it here.
I'm surprised you haven't seen it.
I will watch it.
I'll send you the link after it. Maybe that'll help. No,
literally, it's not here.
I'll send you the link. You'll find it.
Maybe it's in last season. I don't know.
Crunchyroll does get a little bit weird sometimes with how it categorizes seasons.
It's all good. It's all good. Yeah. What about yourself, my brother?
Well, yeah, on top of watching Shangri-La Frontier and also Blue Lock, I know you don't like sports anime, but Blue Lock is decently good. I've been playing Silent Hill 2, the remake, again, on my PlayStation. It's really good. So it's a remake of the 2001 game. I didn't play the original, so I'm playing the remake now, developed by Bloober Team. It's pretty fantastic, actually, and obviously very similar to Resident Evil vibes, usually something that I don't go to, but I wanted to play it. I wanted to give it a go. I was given a code for it. The atmosphere is so bloody eerie, man. Walking through Silent Hill, they've done a great job with the graphics and the tension. It's very funny because it has this, and the DualSense control, I keep praising PlayStation, the DualSense control is freaking awesome. But when enemies are nearby, it'll play like a radio static sound in your controller, which tells you that there's an enemy nearby. And you think that diffuses the tension. It does not, because then they'll have moments where they don't play the bloody radio static and an enemy is just behind a wall and you walk through and it jumps out and then it plays and then you get scared. So
they did that on purpose.
It absolutely did on purpose. And it keeps doing it because you rely on the static like a crutch and then they get you. So they did that fantastically. It's great exploring. The puzzles are really challenging but fun to do. I would never say that they became onerous or tedious or anything. Quite rewarding. As far as I heard, it's a really good job at recreating the original game, but of course adding modern features. Combat is a little bit simplistic, but still nothing more satisfying than having a freaking wooden bat with nails and smacking those monsters. I think it's very, very fun. Overall, I'm having a good time. I still want to play more of it. I'm only about halfway through. But if you haven't played Silent Hill 2, and you did play the original, you should play the remake. I definitely think it's done a great job, and Bloober Team have done a great job. So, yeah. Do you like horror games, out of curiosity, Rob? You get scared?
No, I get terrified. I don't like it. Because remember I mentioned, like, I'm an immersive gamer, so I really lock into games. They you know what game destroyed me, and I had to turn it off? I've had to turn off horror games before.
Sure. Like
Plasmophobia. You ever played that?
Yeah, I have played Plasmophobia.
Death, dude. Like, oh, I hate flickering lights, moving shadows, darkness. Nah, dude. Nah.
I'll tell you what, you'll like Silent Hill 2 because it has this radio which plays static when there's an enemy nearby.
I played it way back in the day, dude, and I didn't like it then.
Because it was too scary.
Yeah.
But it's if you are into scary games, it is genuinely great. I can't, and the story is, I will say, the story as well, it really grips you, the characters that you meet. I love the cutscenes. I love the conversations that I had. So I don't want to spoil too much, but you should be playing the remake, especially if you enjoy the original. You probably already played it if you are a fan, but that's what I've been playing and that's what I've been watching.
Cool, dude.
And finally, viewer questions. Yeah. If you have any questions for the viewer question segment, please let us know in the comments below. But first up, we have at PrestonWinters9656 asks, hell yeah, my daughter was born, Rob is back, and the Avowed previews are great. Congratulations on the birth of your daughter. Mm-hmm. Rob and Johnny, are you ready to play Avowed? Rob?
What's Avowed?
Avowed is the upcoming RPG from Obsidian that obviously made Outer Worlds, they made Fallout New Vegas 2, and I'm not going to say it's their Skyrim because it is different. It's not as open world. It's more like open zone as far as I understand, but it looks really, really good. I think it's definitely something that could be up your alley, Rob, because you love RPGs, you love customizing. I reckon you should give it a go.
It when looks it comes cool.
Out. Yeah. It I actually think you'll really like it. I want to try and get some codes for us for sure.
Yeah, that'll be cool. But I will say, I'm in a funny point in my life right now. Mm-hmm. I just can't stand stories, dude.
Okay.
Like, that's why I like Helldivers. No story. That's why I can't finish Baldur's Gate. Too much story.
Like, Baldur's Gate is very heavy. That's like in that direction.
Yeah, it's why I can't jump back into, you know, what is it? Pathfinder.
Mm-hmm.
Too much story. Mm-hmm. Story kills me. Like, it blows games up for me.
Fair enough.
I just get burnt out caring.
it's so funny, like, you and I are polar opposites when it comes to what we like in video games. I love a good story, man. I need to
be left alone. I'll create my own story, you know what I mean? Like, fair I already enough. Got one in my head right now for the next dude that I'm making, no matter what the game is.
Yeah, I will say, though, it feels like Avowed is going to be up your alley. Because I don't think it's going to be as story heavy. Yeah.
But, yeah.
Next question is from @NukeZilla. Did the UFC pay for your new teeth? Rob, how does it work when you get a serious injury in a fight? Does the UFC pay?
UFC always looks after you after a fight. Always. They've been great. Since day dot, they've been great. You sustain an injury in the UFC, the UFC looks after you.
Nice. That's really good to hear. So there you go, Nukezilla. Next question is from @BarryMagenius3123. I want to play a league game with Rob. Who does he main?
Well, you know what? In the games that I jump into, I struggle to play the same character twice. Like, I get bored really quickly. But if I had to say one guy that I played the most amount of games with, probably Darius.
Mm-hmm.
Or I played Ryze before they nerfed, like reworked him, which was way back when. I've been playing for a long time.
Yeah. What do you think it is? Like, why can't you play the same character twice? Because you've said similar stuff for other games. You need to constantly re-roll.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know. Like, I've tried to really delve into this, and like, I want to find what clicks, but nothing clicks. I don't. Yeah. Although lately I've been still pure warrior.
Yeah.
No magic for a while. Like, I'm on that magic is crap sort of vein right now.
Yeah.
Can't be everything. I don't know. I have to like really hyper focus on one thing.
Well, you've got a min-max. Like, once you get min-maxing into you, there's no other way to play. You can't balance everything.
I can't. Been doing it since the start.
Yeah, yeah. And finally, @LoneViking. Hey, gentlemen, advice for martial arts. In a rural town, and my options for learning karate is for learning karate or a less traditional taekwondo. Which would you guys recommend? What do you reckon, Rob?
Got to go karate, dude. Karate. That's what I started with. I love karate.
Like, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I love karate. I'm a karate dude.
The thing about karate, it's not just what it, I am. It's not just what it teaches you with the martial arts, but it's everything. It's the life lessons that you get as well. Mm. It's the relaxation with the breathing techniques that you get. You learn things. Like, I will always remember kata. I will always remember the techniques. And it's given me life lessons, especially the stuff that I was taught from my dad, who's a sensei, that I'll continue to take on in life for the rest of my life. You know? Mm. So karate for sure. And I don't know what he means by less traditional taekwondo. That sounds kind of weird. It's
probably like a fusion, like taekwondo, but they also teach jujitsu there and
MMA. Then just call it mixed martial arts. Like, it's like, I don't know.
Got to get those guys through the door, dude.
True. You got to differentiate yourself from the other karate dojo in town. So that does make sense. But that is it. That is the end of episode 53 of the MM Arcade podcast. Not too long of a podcast. I think we did pretty decently.
Hour clean. It always is.
Absolutely. Rob, as always, closing thoughts. Let us know what you think. I know, well, technically, bro, like, we won't go into it. We do have a UFC card this weekend. It is Joaquin Buckley against Colby Covington. Chat about that if you want. Go ahead.
Yeah, I'm not. I'm not, dude. Curious to see what sort of Colby turns up, but I'm not gonna. Thanks to all our subscribers, dude. Thanks to everyone that tunes in and listens to us and been hanging around and puts up with me just shit talking the entire time. Thank you very much, guys. Stay tuned. See you next week.
Take care.